Welcome back to the Thrive Kombucha Podcast. You'll notice this is Trevor speaking. This is not Elijah. Elijah is out of town this week. And for some of the discussions that I have lined up for us, I would prefer to have those face-to-face with him rather than long-distance recordings. So what we're going to do this week is I'm going to bring in one of our Patreon discussions so that you guys can know what sorts of dialogues we have over on that side. At the time of me recording this, I haven't decided which one I want to do yet, but we always have a good amount of fun back there. We do lots of chats with our Patreon members, and there's always the free 8-pack that we send out once a month to a winner. And one more thing is Juniper Gin is now up on the website. The 12-pack of those can now be ordered, and a couple other really good small batch flavors when you add them to your mix and match. So thanks for listening, and here is a conversation from our Patreon. We're here.
We're back. We never left.
We never left. literally 35 seconds have passed.
Man.
Time awesome.
Time flies.
Time flies.
When you're having fun.
When you have something else you'd rather be doing. No, that's not true. It's actually the exact opposite. Is time flying right now for you while you want to go for your run?
Time always flies, but I am looking forward to my run.
The sun's
shining.
I'm excited for you to have your run.
Took one a couple days ago. It was beautiful.
All my runs happen at 5 a.m. So I would.
Not even in the sunshine.
I don't want to.
You got to go for a walk.
Low,
at least.
I get the low solar angle. I get the
Is sun. The sun up by then?
Not at 5. I say 5. What that means is I get up at 5. That doesn't mean I'm running at 5. But while I'm on my runs, I hit the sunrise.
You sleep in your Hokas and you just get up at 5, start running.
I just pop out. I've never taken these shoes off. They're with me in the shower.
I believe it.
They're always clean.
I believe
Yeah, I mean, you see my little footprints everywhere.
Everywhere in the house.
Everywhere in the house. The same way you do here after we mop the floors.
It's true.
They're a permanent fixture.
Biggest pet peeve ever is it's not something you can stop, but it's
you
just,
can't get around it. You know,
when you have that perfectly mopped floor, and you're seeing like the sunshine from the doorway just shine on it, and it just looks nice.
Yeah.
And I've made sure to change out the mop bucket about 50 times throughout the course of the mop so that it's actually clean, not just wet. And then you just see those footprints.
You see those footprints.
It's bothersome. But what can you be done? What can you do?
I mean, you can always mop after I leave. There's... Yep. All right. So first things first, Elijah.
Brewery mess ups.
No, that's not first things first. First things first is we asked everyone what their worst flavor was.
Oh, that they had made. Let's hear them.
All right, I got two really good
Rapid
ones.
Rapid fire, man.
On here. All right, first one from Michael Schmidt. Oh my gosh, this was too much.
Schmidt.
Schmitty. I bet he gets that all the time. Chocolate mint kombucha.
That is brave. And I also hate it because that is a flavor combo that I personally absolutely hate.
You hate chocolate mint?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
But props to you for going for it.
Well, I was having a
but
chat.
But that sounds absolutely disgusting.
I told him, oh God, Michael, good God, why? So we had a little bit of chat and he says, it was Christmas season and he found this tea and said he'd give it a try. He said it was good at first, then it got worse and worse the more he drank it.
The novelty was probably like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to try this.
At least the curiosity, but that's the glory of home brewing.
Absolutely.
That's what I hear. But I had deep respect for that because that sounds like, you know, going back to my my coffee shop days, that's the way I would approach flavor creation. I would do lots of deconstruction. So I would have an idea that I want to kind of like base it off of, and then I would kind of deconstruct the elements and try to recreate that. And that's what I would do. So yes. That sounds like something that I would try to come up with. And it'd be worse than Michael's. So
Michael, that was a brave move.
Brave move. All right, this other one's from Josiah.
Josiah.
Oh, gosh, this made me laugh. He said, just plain jalapeno bucha.
Oh.
Wait, it gets better. It gets better. And you will know exactly why this is so great. I put half a pepper diced up in a 16-ounce flip top. It was so strong. I kept telling myself it was good, but the longer it was refrigerated, the stronger it hit. The 2 16-ounce bottles I filled with it will never be the same again.
I feel that so hard. That one makes so much sense to me because we have an entire stainless line on our tap system,
yep.
A like metal tanks, like all of our everything that we do peppers in, especially when you juice them, let the flavor explode like that. It's all dedicated to pepper stuff.
Yep.
Those bottles will never be the same.
They will never be the same. But also, he says he just put half a pepper, diced it up. I'm assuming the seeds are in there too.
I just love the straightforward desire to make sure to try to get through that bottle. I understand.
Yeah.
That. It's like,
no, that's, I created that is this, you.
It's like,
hardcore.
I have to let, it's like almost just like, I will drink this.
Yep. It's become a matter of discipline. I will complete this. Annie, I will finish this.
We'll finish it. Props to you for going for it.
Okay. I think that's a good segue into what happened to you yesterday, Elijah.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad it wasn't jalapenos.
Yeah, definitely. So, which you said, you're so glad it wasn't peppers.
Literally yesterday, and I try to not over-exaggerate. Actually, I do it quite often. But
you think you over-exaggerate?
Not too often. But I can at times. No, Trev says no. It doesn't matter. Anyhow, yesterday, making up 7-barrel Kentucky Mule in the tank, getting the fermentation going, putting all the, fresh, the pressed ginger juice into the tank. And if any of you have done ginger on any sort of a larger scale and ever juiced it into any sort of vessel, if it sits for any length of time after you pour the juice off the top, all the sediment will be down at the bottom. Well, I made mistakes a long time back about not getting that out of there and just putting the top in there.
Yep.
Well, you lose so much of the spice.
Tons.
And from that part of it, whatever part of the ginger that is.
Yep.
That settles out. So we're religious about scraping that out and actually getting that down in the brews to, keep that spice element.
Yeah.
Well, in the course of using this, like I'm up on a 3-step ladder in the hot brew room, just to set the scenario.
Are you on the 4th step of the 3-step?
Even though I've been tempted many times.
Yep.
It's like we need a 4-step. The 3-step ladder that we do have has a 4th step, but it's just like a little platform that you're supposed to like set things on.
Yep.
But the amount of times that you're like, I just need one more step.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
But anyhow.
That's why we had Trey do everything.
Literally, long arms.
Long arms, tall guy.
Long arm McGee. So I'm having this little rubber scraper on this bottom, like really sticky stuff. And as I'm pushing on it really hard and obviously looking directly at it, my hand slips. And this, I mean, it seemed like the largest amount imaginable just shoots out of this dang vat in directly into my right eyeball. And it was funny because like I felt it right away and I closed it. And then it was like in the next 2 seconds, I realized I just put ginger juice into my eyeball.
Oh,
this is not going to be good.
No.
Cause you know how ginger, it's like you take it and then it starts hitting you.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I was like, this is not going to be good. So I had the good idea in that like literally 2-second increment before the burning started setting in to get off the ladder and just get onto the ground and bend down just on one knee. And then it just started to freaking rage. And it was, I'm not joking you. It was the worst pain I've ever felt for about 10 seconds to 15 seconds. Because it was, obviously it lasted pretty much the rest of the day, but for about 15 to 20 seconds, it was the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. So people, don't get ginger juice in your ass.
Yeah.
That was the worst brewery fail so far. And there's been a lot of them.
Yeah. That's the worst.
It was bloodshot red for a good long while.
Yeah, I'm sure. But, I mean, you learn a very valuable lesson.
Wear safety glasses.
Keep your safety glasses on.
And so, it's hilarious that I'm actually going to do it every time now. Whenever I'm scraping that ginger juice out.
Definitely with the ginger juice.
You better believe I'll be doing it.
It's going to require probably like a mishap of every other ingredient to decide, all right, I'm going to start wearing protective.
Anything that's spicy.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, ginger juice in the eye. That was an experience for the books.
Oh, man.
I'm just glad it wasn't, a jalapeno. I couldn't imagine.
Because we dabble with some jalapenos around here.
You better believe it.
We dance with them.
I don't want them in my eye.
No. Okay. When I brought this up to you last time, you had brought up two very specific experiences from your least favorites.
Did you write them down?
Of course I did.
Okay.
That's what I do. That's my job.
Basically.
It's one of my job descriptions.
Also along with bucket holder.
Yep. Yep.
Please, can you hold this bucket, Trev?
I'm also the faucet manager.
It's true.
Yep. I turn the water on and off.
I don't think I've had you do that as much lately.
No, you haven't, but it's still part of my job. It's in my job description.
It's in there.
If I've been asked to do it more than once, it's a new job description. It's in the small skills section.
Small skills.
Soft skills, that's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
All right. Number one, lagging first large batch.
Worst, most scary thing that happened.
Listen to the podcast episode for more on that, I suppose.
Yes, go back to the podcast episode. It was all about this. Back in those days, I'll give you the quick version. We started the first year of the business bringing 5 to 7 gallon glass jars for everything we produced.
Pretty sure that's the only way anybody did anything at that time frame, except for
large industrial places that.
Except for Dave.
Never got. Yeah, he's still supposedly. I don't know. Well, who knows?
Who cares?
Anyways, we were going that route. But I was kind of just coming into learning about brewery equipment because I didn't have any brewery background or anything. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about anything.
Yeah.
Finally looked into open top fermenters. Went from a 5 gallon to our first big tank, 200.
That's a leap. Yep. Exponential, some might even say.
Yes. And so, as you can imagine, the amount of starter it took to lower the pH down in a 200-gallon batch where all we have is these 5-gallon batches was pretty exponential. Plus, we weren't really measuring any other parameters besides pH at that time, just due to not understanding the full scope of it. And so, and then also not having robust starter culture at that time. Again, reference to the latest episode.
Yep.
But so we have very lackluster starter and we're going from 5 gallon jars where we're just pulling from previous batches that are finished.
Yeah.
And then starting a 200-gallon batch. At this point with the knowledge that you have, it's like, duh. But for someone at that stage who knows nothing of the things that you've your whole experience has been in this vein of things.
Correct. My assumption is that you took everything you basically do for the 5 gallon batches and
you just
multiplied them.
1 to 1, baby.
Yeah.
Just 1 to 1. And what was crazy was the first batch went great. It was great.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the pathway forward. Thank goodness. Here we go. So pulled from that batch that was finished, put it back in. Second batch took over 3 months. By month 2, I was starting to lose my mind. because I was like, I did not base this business model on a 3-month turnaround.
I'm just imagining if we were at a 3-month stall here now.
It couldn't happen.
No.
Yeah.
We'd have.
So that was the scariest moment in this entire business, because obviously it was like, I don't know how to do this. I don't have the skill set. I cannot scale this thing up. I don't know how to do it. So it was a very scary moment.
Of course.
But yeah. So that was the worst moment.
Yeah.
That was the worst moment in the history of the business, as far as the how the emotions felt. Because the reason why it was so stressful is because I've always had a strong ideal to never releasing product. That's not, I mean, there's maybe sometimes flavors that aren't my favorite that we create, but that we'll put on.
Yeah.
Because that's a subjective experience. But I was never willing to put under-fermented batches out. And that's something I would never do. I mean, we told the story before, but a quick little backstory is there had been many times when we were in a retail operations where we would run out of kombucha down to one flavor, like one keg left of kombucha. And it's like, we have a bunch of kombucha that's fermenting in the back, but it's another week out. And it's like the amount of times we went down to one flavor were a ton, to where we just, because it was just an idea. I was like, we're going to do it right from the beginning. And let's just stick to that and we'll see what happens with it. And so that was the problem, is with that ideal. But I'll tell you what, that was the time it was most tested on that batch.
I believe it. And so what my assumption is that that specific moment, how did you get yourself out of that? Like, did it force you into needing to learn as much as you could, or
yeah,
that pretty much it?
It was just basically like, well, I'm not going to break my ideals. So how the heck do I fix this? And then it sent us, obviously catapulted down this long journey of learning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. All right. Number two. This is actually my favorite one. Water overfills.
Which one?
That's why it's my favorite one.
So,
because it's plural.
The system that we have around here is we have a water filtration device that shoots out about, you know, let's say around 100 to 150 gallons a day. Well, basically, you'll get in these scenarios to where, like, we'll let it run continually so that we have it running into a water tank holder.
Yes.
Well, that water tank holder doesn't have a float system on it to turn anything off. It's just a manual turn off. And so there'll be days where it's like, oh, there's like 150 gallons left of space in the tank. Should we let it run? And sometimes you'll just do it, you know?
Yeah.
Or sometimes you make the call because it can run through the night and produces more RO water. Well, the amount of times that we have forgotten to turn that off when there's like, you know, let's say 50 gallons of headspace in that thing, and it's like gonna go through the night. It's like the amount of times that, like, the guys will get an early morning text from me, like, wading through the water throughout the brewery or vice versa, and just the endless amounts of times that we've forgotten to turn that thing off. Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's the worst thing because it's right by our walk-in cooler.
I was just about to talk about
and
that.
And if it gets inside the walk-in cooler to try to get it out and get it mopped up with rags and stuff, it's just, you got to move all the product, you know, kegs, everything out of the way.
Yep.
And then get down there. And it's just a nightmare of a job to get it up out of the brewery, because we don't have a lot of floor drains. Basically one little hole. That's our drain.
Yep.
And
this is my favorite thing about that floor drain, is the fact that, so
that puppy's got used.
Oh, it gets used. Absolutely. But my favorite thing about that floor drain is, since we're in Kentucky, we have these rolling hills. And the direction in which the water flows is not directly towards that that floor drain.
Yeah, it's not sloped.
It's not sloped at all. But there are like tons of like little slopes all over the place.
Oh yeah.
That move it in tons of different directions.
Yeah, it's not a legit brewery floor drain, by any means.
No.
It's like a single like 4-inch drain hole.
Yeah, that's it. Drain hole.
Yeah. So the amount of times that puppy
you know,
is
it's not, it doesn't have very much depth either.
No.
The amount of times Trey, oh, bless his heart, would put the hose in there to drain, but it would drain at such a velocity that it would cause the hose to pop up and
shoot
get
everywhere.
And shoot everywhere, particularly at me. And I just got this yeasty grossness all over me.
I wish I was there to see that.
Because I was just trying to be a good boy and take care of the dishes for him. But
this
I was
is what you get for being such a good boy.
This is what I get. So I just, you know, no one's going to save you.
Nogsy. Yeah, that it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the new floor drain.
New floor drain will be great. But we haven't had...
Those are always pretty bad ones, though.
Yeah.
The water overflow.
We've gotten better at that. We have a protocol.
Yeah. Haven't done it in quite a while.
It's been quite a while. The last issue that happened was just because of the reservoir, of like the amount of water that was still inside of that hose. After like it had been closed, it was all good, but had dropped down and water just kind of floated outward.
Hey, but wasn't too bad.
I wasn't here when that happened, so but I didn't know how bad that situation was.
Could have been worse.
It could have gotten into the walk-in.
The best. And this is the third one.
Okay.
And then we'll close it out.
Okay.
The absolute, now looking back, most hilarious moment, though, was, so back in the day when we had the retail operations, we used to not have two separate sides. So you'd be kind of doing production while.
Yes.
So me and Alex were here, first guy that worked here, with the iBrew. And he was taking care of the customer. I was doing some brewing in the back and kind of coming up and just saying, hey, or whatever. While I was saying, hey, I had forgot that a process was going on and I was filling a tank. Well, how I found out that the tank was not doing what it's supposed to be doing was it overflowed and started running, and it was a flavored one, of course. It was running under like the doorway and all the walls. And it started flowing out the front door.
Oh, no. Oh, that must have been so sticky.
It was about 75 to 100 gallons of finished flavored kombucha on the ground.
At the rate that you were.
But it was hilarious because the person who noticed it was the customer. They were like, is that supposed to be happening? It looks like you have a little leak. And I was like, and I played it all cool. I was like, oh, it's not too bad. Just walk back there. 100 gallons of kombucha flowing under the walls.
Oh, my gosh.
And you just know what kind of a cleanup session that's going to be.
Yep.
So there might have been a few choice words on that one.
I believe that there were.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yep. Final one, really fun, kind of relevant, is this is more a retail thing. But when you overflow... Or
the growlers.
The growler, or it kicks at a very specific point and shoots off and hits the customer. That'd be the
everyone's
other one.
Done it once.
Yep, I've only done it once.
And it's hilarious how that is a part of filling growlers at this location. You have to hit at least one customer.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen.
You never really.
You're not gonna listen until you're not gonna. I'm gonna tell you 5,000 times because it's happened to me 2 or 3 times.
Yep.
And it's hilarious the amount of people at the other establishments that people that bring our growlers in. I'm like, I know this sounds annoying, what I'm trying to get across to you, but you really need to listen to me.
Right yeah. Now.
This is going to kick and you are going to spray a customer if you do not listen to me.
Yes.
And they never listen to me.
So keep your kegerator at a low temperature. Because if it gets warmer,
yeah,
there's a lot more shooting out of there. All right. That'll do it.
All right. Let us know. Biggest kombucha brewing.
Yes.
If you are a brewer. Homebrewers.
Homebrewers. I'm sure they got tons of stories. Absolutely.
We know it's a blown up bottle, but we want to know the scenario that surrounds it.
Yeah. Yeah. And tell us about like the color of your ceiling now. You know, those sorts. These are what we want. Oh, okay. I got a quick story on this. One time I had, dang it. I'm blanking on the name of them. The bottle. You literally just said it.
Flip tops.
Yes. Growler. That's the word. I had one, and I thought I was going to leave the shop a lot sooner than I did. So I went ahead and filled it and had it set out. Where did I have it set out? In direct sunlight. But it wasn't direct sunlight when I set it out. I just ended up being here an extra like 4 hours, than I had intended. And so this was a while ago, but it was a new flavor. I don't remember what it was, but we were really excited about it. Rachel and I, my wife, got it home, did not go off in the car, which is good. But I had it set, told Rachel what it was. She was ready for it. She was like, I want to try this. Absolutely. So I'm like putting groceries away or something like that, have my back turned to her, and she opens it up, pops it up, and it is just
spewing.
It is a rocket. Like if that were upside down, Rachel would be on the moon. It was insane. I turn around and Rachel just like doesn't know what to do.
She's not doing anything.
She's just watching. She's like, I don't know. I tell her, cover it. You know that if I say to you, cover it, what are you going to do? You're going to put the flip top back on it. She doesn't know what to. She puts her hand.
And then it starts spraying.
That's exactly what happened.
And it just sprays all over.
It just
the
goes
kitchen.
Sideways and everywhere. All over all of those like nicely hand washed dishes that I've set aside to dry. It's just all over it.
Oh my God.
Oh, and like honestly, just seeing her go.
It was worth it all.
Oh, it was worth it all. It was so funny. And then there's like hardly any left after. Yeah.
Two sips.
There was like two sips. Exactly. So.
Well, yep. Did she like it?
I'm sure she did. Well, probably not. Probably after that, she was like, I don't even want to try it.
I'm done with this.
I'm done with this.
You're quitting on Monday.
Kombucha's dead to me. Ruined my apartment. All right. That's my story.
These are the stories we want to hear.
Yes.
Hit us up. Let us know. We're going to read them. All right. Cheers, y'all.